How do you do? Have you ever known in your heart that you should do something, and yet you didn't follow through? The man in this story, like the biblical Jonah, refused to do what he knew was right. And, like Jonah, he was thrust among his enemies, a people he distrusted, but a people he learned to love when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Shining the light of the world into the darkness, this is Unshackled. Dramatized true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people can feel trapped between a rock and a hard place. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming those without means. The mission provides a safe place to sleep, nourishing meals, and fresh clothing to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. Even medical and dental care is given to resident guests, all without charge. Pastors and counselors lead them to the rock that is higher than they can imagine, the rock on which they can build new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3214 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Japan. Everyone else is going to Korea, and I'm getting off in Yokohama, Japan?
Sir, you're right, Hathaway. You're a computer nut. And headquarters is in Japan. Lots of computers there.
Japan is the last place on Earth I want to go. I don't like the Japanese.
You ought to be glad. Japan's an occupied country now, but there's a war going on in Korea.
Yeah, but I don't...
Be glad you don't have to face combat, Bill. The war with Japan ended 5 years ago.
Then why did the captain give me a rifle and tell me to sleep with it by my...
It ended 5 years ago.
Then why did the captain give me a rifle and tell me to sleep with it by my side?
Although the young man in our story had grown up in an orphanage, he knew his life's purpose at the age of 14. This is the story of how he responded to that call. The conclusion of the true testimony of Bill Hathaway... Right now on Unshackled.
When I got off the military transport ship in Yokohama and reported to my job at the Air Force Base near Tokyo, I threw myself into my work with computers and also enjoyed playing my trumpet in the Far East Air Force Marching Band. This was in 1950, and I excelled in computer training, graduating second in my class, and was promoted from private to staff sergeant in only 13 months. I was a Christian, but reluctant to pray before eating because I feared ridicule. So I would sometimes just lean over a bit and pretend to scratch my head while praying. One day, however, I decided to pray openly in a restaurant, even though a combat soldier sat at the table.
Boy, am I glad to see another Christian here in Tokyo.
It's rare, I can tell you that.
That is rare in Korea, though. No atheists in foxholes.
I figured you were on R&R from the war.
Yeah. Hey, you stationed at the Air Force Base?
Yeah, I work with computers.
What are you doing in Tokyo?
I have a 3-day pass, and I'm just doing some sightseeing.
Hey, let me take you to meet a friend of mine who lives in Chiba.
Sure, why not?
He's a missionary to the Japanese.
I just remembered. I have an important report I have to do on the computers. I got to get back to base. I had known since I was 14 that God wanted me to be a missionary in Japan. And like Jonah, I was running from that call. The last person I wanted to meet was a missionary. But there was no getting out of it. We made the trip to Chiba and arrived to find Japanese police searching an open field with a missionary named Ike, who was 6'6". So when my new friend introduced us, I had to look up to him in more ways than one.
Hey, what's going on, Ike?
Last night we had burglars who stole most of our clothes.
Your clothes wouldn't fit most of the local people.
Well, a tailor could alter them.
I hear you're a missionary, Pastor.
I'm a missionary, but not a pastor.
I thought you had to be a pastor to be a missionary.
Nope.
But you have to have 4 years of college and 3 years of seminary.
How do you know that?
Everyone knows that.
Bible college is good, Bill, but you have to foster a deep love for God's Word and His purpose for your life. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He didn't say anything about college.
Well, did you go to college?
Yes, several. In the front door and out the back. I've learned many things from my teachers, but God's calling on my life is what I've always followed.
Ike had a sense of humor, and I liked him. He was 9 years older than I, but he treated me like a son, welcoming and encouraging me. Every time I had a 3-day pass, I went to see him and his wife.
So you were obstreperous, Bill.
Was I ever. Mom couldn't control me, so the state put me and my two little sisters in the orphanage. Mm.
Is your mother still alive?
Yes, she still lives in Philadelphia.
It may have seemed cruel at the time to separate you from your mother, but God had a plan to draw you to Himself at that orphanage.
I used to spend a lot of time reading about missionaries to China and Africa, and I would draw pictures, too. The clouds I drew often seemed to form the words, "Go ye." I was pretty unruly until Jesus set me straight.
Sounds like you're still pretty ornery. Tearing up your cigarette ration card in front of guys who want us.
Smoking is such a crutch. And drinking caused my friend to flunk out of computer school. I worked hard and God blessed my effort.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
What about you, Ike? How did you decide to become a missionary to Japan?
I didn't decide. God did. I came here to fight during World War II, and the Lord showed me that the Japanese people need Christ.
Interesting. First, you fought the Japanese. Now you try to offer them salvation.
It's all spiritual warfare. The devil wants to keep them bound to sin.
You think?
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. People are not the enemy, Bill. Satan is the enemy, and he uses every dirty trick in the book to steal, kill, and destroy.
Ike and his wife often prayed for me, and because of their example, my fear and perceived dislike of the Japanese began to soften. One day, Ike took me by jeep to see a new mission he was starting.
So the night you were saved, you felt that God was calling you to be a missionary?
It was more like awareness that God wanted me to share the good news I had just heard with others.
Every believer is called to be a missionary, whether to some faraway place or right in his own neighborhood or family.
You think?
We are ambassadors for Christ.
A light in the darkness.
Exactly. Jesus said, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light."
I'd like to be able to quote scripture like that.
Go to Bible college.
Maybe I will, when I'm out of the Air Force.
Son, we're praying the Lord will lead you where He wants you to go.
I had grown up without knowing a father's love, so Ike was the first man who ever put his arm around my shoulder and called me son. As tears came to my eyes, I didn't know how to respond, so I looked away and said nothing. I misheard what he said and thought he was praying that the Lord would call me to Japan. Not long after that, a friend called me at work.
"Hey, Bill, can you come over here this weekend?"
"Are you still in Nagoya?"
"Yeah, I'm the chaplain's assistant now."
"Good.
Look, I need to make a decision about something, and maybe you can help me, huh?"
"I'll try, but the Lord is the best counselor."
"Uh-huh, in the multitude of counselors there is safety."
"True. Is Nagoya still torn up from the war?"
"Yeah, but it's Christmas, so a bunch of us are going out caroling."
"How?"
"I've lined up an army weapons carrier truck. You can go with us."
That was Christmas of 1951. We drove through the streets of Nagoya singing carols. As I looked down at those frail Japanese people, I didn't see any of them smile, which deeply affected me. I couldn't get their faces out of my mind when I returned to my job in Tokyo. I was so distracted by the memory that I dropped a large tray of IBM cards, and it took me all night to resort them. I couldn't wait till the next weekend to visit Ike at the new church he'd started.
Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is our message to a lost world. Behold the Lamb of God. Most people know in their hearts that there is a holy God, and they cannot measure up to him. They try, but can't. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." But most people don't realize that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That is the believer's purpose here on earth, to know Christ and make him known. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Are you lifting up Christ? If not, are you truly surrendered to him?
I knew what I had to do. As soon as he gave the invitation to come to Christ, I hurried down the aisle to the front.
Why did you come forward, Bill?
I want to surrender my life to Christ, to be a missionary to Japan.
Praise God. Let's pray, son.
I knew from the age of 14 that God wanted me to be a missionary to Japan, and it had taken me 7 years to be obedient to that call. I never doubted God's leading after that day, even though he led me through some dark times.
We'll hear more about Bill's story in just a moment. Unshackled is translated into Spanish, called Desencadenados, and broadcast throughout Mexico and Central and South America. We are grateful to translators who make this possible and who re-dramatize these programs into Spanish. Many are available on our website, www.unshackled.org, to listen online. We get emails and letters from listeners like this person who writes, "I live in Ecuador. I hear the stories of Unshackled via the radio waves of hope. Your stories have helped me come out of depression that I was living in. Sometimes I would ask God to send me to my death, but God has had mercy on me, and I know that he has changed me. I feel so embarrassed that I offended God. Can you please send me different story subjects of Unshackled, such as CDs and story booklets, so that I can share with some of my friends that are also going through the same thing?" To learn more about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
In 1952, I finished my tour in the Air Force. I could recommend it a Bible college in Springfield, Missouri. So I went there, where I met Greg Dixon, a fellow student who was also pastoring a church, and I became his song leader. Having a car, I also took him to church.
You need a girlfriend, Bill. I have Wanda, but you don't have anyone.
I don't have time for girls, Greg.
The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone."
That's what I tried to tell me in Japan, but I'm not interested in girls yet.
I know one that's just right for you. Her name is Dixie.
Dixie? Sounds like the girl Ike wanted me to meet.
Oh, yeah. She's a great singer. I went to high school with her. She's a student here. She lives in the girls' dorm.
Well, maybe someday.
Oh, come on. Call her up and ask her to sing at church next week.
No thanks, Greg. Greg wouldn't give up. When we got back to the men's dorm that day, he insisted we call Dixie. He dialed her number and asked if she would sing for me the following week.
She refused. I told her you would even pick her up and take her to church.
Why did she say no?
She said she wouldn't go with anyone who wouldn't ask for himself.
Sorry, buddy. I tried to tell you.
Look, I'm going to call her right back, and you can ask her to sing.
No. Give it up, Greg. Will you please?
Here. Talk to her. Talk.
Hello? Is this Dixie?
Yes.
This is Bill Hathaway. Would you be willing to sing in our church next week? I'll pick you up.
Yes, of course I would.
Dixie was beautiful, and she sang like an angel. When I heard her sing the following week, I knew she would be my wife. We became friends and started dating. She graduated a year before me, and we married. About that time, the director of missions at the college called me into his office.
Sit down, Bill. Are you still keen to go back to Japan?
Yes, sir.
You're friends with Ike Foster, aren't you?
Yes, I am. He was instrumental in my decision to come here and prepare for the mission field.
Did you know that he and his wife have transferred to Korea?
I knew they were talking about it.
I suppose you'll want to go to Korea now, too, huh?
Ike is like a dad to me, and I love him very much. But Ike Foster didn't call me to Japan. I was called by the Lord, so I'll go to Japan. Dixie and I spent a year as missionary interns at a Wichita church in 1956. We were approved and arrived in Japan in 1957. After spending a year in language school in Tokyo, we moved to Nagoya to start our first church. Financial support was low, but we learned to eat rice and fish, which were not expensive.
Did you bring something for dinner, Bill?
Not much.
Oh, the fish weren't biting today.
No, but an angry Japanese man was. He chased me with a knife.
Oh, goodness.
He was really angry. I think he was a former soldier who hates Americans.
I'm glad you weren't hurt. Did you try to explain?
You don't explain to a knife, Dixie. I'll just stay away from that fishing area for a long time.
If they only knew, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Unless you know the Lord, it's hard to forgive, honey. That's why we're here. As soon as our first church was going strong and had a Japanese pastor, we started a tent ministry because no buildings were available. When we built our first church in Nagoya, I saw a Japanese businessman bowing to his God house nearby. I tried to get to know him. Good morning.
Not good.
I've seen you trying to clean up the neighborhood.
American bombs destroyed Nagoya.
I want to invite you to come to church sometime.
I will never enter a church building. I was a soldier fighting America in the war.
The pastor of our church is Japanese, and his father was a colonel, killed in the war.
Maybe he can forget, but I don't forget.
God laid that man, Mr. Morey, on my heart, and I kept praying for him. I had ordered a large tent and asked him to help me erect it in a new neighborhood of apartment buildings. Since a tent wasn't a church, he agreed to help me, and he worked all day in the hot summer sun so we could have a meeting that night.
Finished?
Yes, it's all ready for the meeting, Mr. Morey. Thank you very much for helping me.
Hathaway, son, I worked all day with you in the hot sun putting up this tent. It's just a tent and not a church. Can I stay for the meeting?
Of course. We'd love to have you stay for the meeting. He came back every night after that. The last night of the meeting, I held the invitation to receive Christ for a longer time than usual. But he didn't respond in spite of my prayers. However, he did help me take down the tent. Our Japanese pastor, who was living in the church, called me the next day. Dixie, you know the neighbor man we've been praying for so much?
Yes, Mr. Morey.
He showed up at church this morning at 6 and asked if there was a meeting. Oh, Pastor Akira told him to come in. There was a meeting just for him.
And he entered the church?
Yes, and he was gloriously saved.
Oh, God is so awesome. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. I can still see Dixie wearing a long overcoat standing on a street corner in winter, teaching a group of children about Jesus. She used a flannel graph board. She taught Sunday school wherever we started a fellowship, and she learned to play the accordion and piano. I played trumpet. Dixie homeschooled our children until they reached high school. Our last ministry was in Japan, on the western side of the country, a neglected side of Japan, in the city of Kanazawa. The church we started there is still growing and has launched other churches. But in 1980, we returned to the U.S. and went into ministry here.
We call it SOS because that's the universal cry of distress. Save our souls.
Clever and appropriate.
The letters SOS also stand for steps of salvation. And these are the five steps. First is the state of sinners.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Exactly. Second comes the sentence of sinners.
For the wages of sin is death.
Yes. And the third step is the source of salvation.
Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
The fourth step is the shortcoming of service.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
And the last is the simplicity of salvation. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
I like it. The five steps of salvation.
So simple, yet so true. Anyone can understand it.
And anyone, even a new believer, can share the gospel using these five steps. Truly inspired. We joined our efforts to teach others how to share the good news of God's grace. I also pastored a church in Japanese in Springfield, Missouri, for Japanese Americans. Ironically, the church in Japan helps to support the ministry here. I returned to Japan whenever possible to encourage pastors there. 25 years passed.
There's the printout you wanted, Bill.
Thank you, honey.
Anything else?
No, thanks. Are you all right?
Oh, just tired. I don't know why. I haven't done anything this morning, but it's difficult to breathe.
You've had low energy for some time, Dixie. Why don't you see a doctor? After examining Dixie and taking an X-ray, Dixie's doctor put her in the hospital where she had a CAT scan. The next day, a different doctor came into her hospital room and introduced himself as an oncologist.
Mrs. Hathaway, you have cancer throughout your chest.
Well, doctor, am I going to die?
Yes, yes, there's nothing we can do. Not even chemo will help. I'm sorry, but the cancer has advanced too far.
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I will get to see Jesus.
Well, a good attitude helps at a time like this.
Can I go home then? I'd rather spend my last days at home.
I sat there speechless while Dixie calmly discussed her condition. I couldn't believe she had asked such a question. She came home, and I found a friend who owned a home care ministry. He sent nurses to help Dixie, but we soon realized that she needed hospice. As my beloved wife lay dying, the family gathered around her bed. Dixie's last words were, "Carry on the work the Lord gave us to do." 17 days after the doctor diagnosed her cancer, Dixie was gone. This was February 2005. Hello?
How you doing, Bill?
Okay.
You don't sound okay.
This is the deepest valley of my life.
You'll see her again.
I know, but that doesn't help me right now.
The Lord is right there with you, for he hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee."
I know, but I still miss her terribly. She was part of everything I did. My life partner.
Can't imagine.
It's agonizing. I can't sing in church. I haven't touched my trumpet for a year.
Bill, God has a reason for everything he lets us go through.
I know. I used to say that to grief-stricken people. Now I know that sometimes words are inadequate. Memories. The precious memories.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Please read it again, Bill.
Yes, I know. I called the pastor who lost his wife and told him how I had only 17 days to tell my wife how much I loved her. And what he said astounded me.
What was that?
He had no time at all. His wife was killed in an accident. God, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Through that verse in 1 Corinthians, the Lord led me to form a ministry that helps those who've lost loved ones. I wrote a book about the grieving process and God's way of bringing us through the pain. I started support ministries in other states. I also continue to minister the gospel to Japanese people here and abroad. Through the internet, I even preach to the church in Japan. They see me, and I see them. So the Lord is still using me. With God, all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, where the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you have the victory, listening friend? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Turn from unbelief to the living God, who gave his life for you and lives to give you eternal life. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3214. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We love to know you listen, so please write today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.